Colossians 3:16, the Bible says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. And God, I pray for these prayer requests, Lord. I do pray for our pastor, Pastor Jerry. Bless him, Lord, as he's on vacation. Help him and his family, Lord. Give him a refreshing time. Lord, I do pray for Brother Don, Lord. He'll be going for some tests tomorrow morning. Please help him, Lord. And guide the doctors and be with them. Lord, also for Daniel, Lord. He's facing some hard times over there in Iraq. I pray that you'd help him, Lord, and keep him, Lord, spiritually and physically, and just be with him, Lord. Now, God, help this morning as we teach the lesson in your name, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to have to hurry this morning because I there's no way I'm going to get through all my material. I have a lot I want to cover, but we're going to look at this area called music. We just read in Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You know, it's interesting here in this verse that God, in the same verse, links his word and music together there. Let the word of Christ, and then down at the end of the verse, it teaches about music. You know, there are more than 500 references to music in the Bible. 500. Now, that's a lot, okay? And the Bible has answers for the Christian and our attitude that we should have toward music. Now, music is a weighty issue with God. Music matters to God. Okay, and we're going to look at that in a minute. Turn with me real quick. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 28. You know, a lot of people will, you know, ask and wonder, well, why does music even matter anyway? Okay, what's the deal with music, good music and bad music? Folks, whether you understand it or not, Satan, when he was created in heaven, okay, God created Lucifer, of course, as the chief archangel. And Lucifer, I believe he led the music in heaven. And I believe there's Bible principles that prove that. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Ezekiel 28, 13. The Bible says this: "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering: the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold." Let me ask you this. Does that sound like the world and Hollywood's portrayal of the devil? I don't think so. Okay, the devil's not what Hollywood's made him out to be, folks. Okay, the devil's not, you know, the red suit with the pitchfork and the horns and run around looking real evil. That's not the devil. In fact, I can guarantee you this. If the devil was up here this morning and Jesus was up here this morning, we could physically see both of them, we'd have a hard time telling them apart. Because Satan, his goal is not to be opposite from God. Satan wants to be as much as he can like God so he can deceive people. Okay? But let's look at the rest of that verse. That's a side note. Listen, the last part of this verse is very interesting. "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." Folks, when God made Lucifer in heaven, God made within him musical instruments. Satan is a musical instrument. When he can speak with that of music. That's the way God made him, folks. He's a very beautiful creature. And as he speaks with music. So is it not a wonder when Satan fell that he took this area of music with him? And of course, just like Satan always wants to do, he perverts something that God has created for good and turns it to bad. Okay? If you don't think there is good music and bad music, you're either deceived or you got your head in the sand. Because let me tell you something, folks. There is good music and there is bad music. You know, the big question today amongst the contemporary Christian music crowd that they want to use to justify this idea of this garbage that they play in their church is this. And the question that's frequently asked is music immoral? Which basically means, does music really matter? What they're trying to say, this crowd of the contemporary Christian music people, is the fact that they want to say that music doesn't really matter. It doesn't have the capability of moral influence, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of music you listen to. And it doesn't communicate moral values or anything like that. It's just neutral. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think music is neutral? Absolutely, it's not. You know, the answer to this question is why we have the mess of music in churches we have today. You know, the contemporary Christian music crowd, is their philosophy is this: we must relate to our culture so we can reach the people of today. Now that kind of sounds kind of spiritual, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. How are they doing? Okay? Are they accomplishing their goal? Has the culture become more like the church, or has the church become more like the culture? Are they reaching the culture with their music? No. What's happening? The culture changing the church. Okay? And in an effort to reach the world, the church has leaned over, lost its balance, and fallen right in. Okay? Now, on a side note here, and I don't have time to teach this, but folks, let me tell you something. God never intended music to be used as an evangelistic tool. Okay? What did God use? What's the Bible say? Does the Bible say, "For the singing of the cross is to them that perish foolishness"? Know what it says? What's God's vehicle to preach the gospel and get people saved? Preaching. It's not singing. Okay? And there's a big difference there. Okay? And this contemporary Christian music crowd, you know, they want to say, "Well, we're trying to reach people for Christ." Folks, let me tell you something. In order for someone to get saved, the Holy Spirit has to be active and has to be present. Okay? When they play their garbage music that they play, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's not there. So if the Holy Spirit's not there, can people really get saved? No. Another thing that goes in common with this contemporary Christian music crowd is, guess what version of the Bible they use? Use the NIV. Let me ask you a question. Is the NIV the Word of God? Yes or no? No, it's not. Can't people get saved without the Word of God? Okay? So, you know, that they may appear to have results. Okay? But don't be deceived. Okay? Because we know that Satan is deceiving. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. Music does matter. Okay, it's very important. It does matter. A man named Harold Best, who is the former dean of the Conservatory of Music at Wheaton College. Okay, Wheaton College is supposedly a Christian university. Okay, in fact, in its earlier days, it probably was a good place. In fact, John R. Rice got some of his training at Wheaton College. Okay, it's up in northern Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. Okay, and this is what this guy, who's the dean of music at the college, this is what he says. He calls music moral nothingness, and claims there is nothing un- or anti-Christian about any kind of music. Okay? Now, I didn't bring it this morning, but I got this poster that I have of a church in Terre Haute that was advertising a contemporary Christian music rock concert they were going to have. Okay? Now, don't ask me where I got the poster, because I'm not going to tell you that I stole it off the bulletin board of an area church. Okay? So don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you. But I got this poster. Okay? It went right along with what I'm preaching about, so I got this poster. Let me tell you something. The guys on this poster, they're a bunch of freaks. Okay? You know, they got nose rings and earrings, and their hair's all shaggy, and they got these stupid-looking shirts, and they're dressed like a bunch of freaks. Okay? And these people were putting on at an area, sad to say, Baptist church in Terre Haute. Okay? Good Shepherd. No, I'm just kidding. Wasn't Good Shepherd. Just kidding. An area supposedly Baptist church in Terre Haute, a contemporary Christian music rock concert. Now you tell me that there's nothing anti or unchristian about that? When I was doing the study about music, one of the young people gave me this article. I'm going to read it to you this morning. It says this: Did Christian rock play a role in murders? November 24, 2005, on the night of October 6th, David Ludwig, 18, and his 14-year-old girlfriend, Cara Beth Borden, went to church. There was no sermon, though, at least not a traditional one. David and Cara were at the Lancaster Bible Church in Mayhem, Pennsylvania, for a Christian rock concert. As the punishingly loud guitars of Audio Adrenaline and Pillar strained the limits of the church sound system, the kids screamed and pumped their fist and banged their heads. Pillar and Audio A rocked my face off. David wrote on his blog the next day, it must have been like a computer thing, Cara spent almost all the money in her pocket on a Pillar sweatshirt. She was wearing it the morning of November 13th when police say David shot and killed her parents and fled with her at his side. Now, do you think that's a coincidence, folks? Let me tell you something, it's not. Okay? Music is very powerful. Another man, his name's Steve Miller, he's the author of the Contemporary Christian Music Debates. Okay, he defends this stuff. This is what he said. Using what is neutral in a society as a vehicle for the gospel is not only acceptable, but a sound missionary strategy. Okay? So that's what these people are trying to do, folks. They're trying to take this garbage music and trying to reach the culture. Okay? And you know what? It kind of sounds like a notable, worthy goal. But folks, God never intended for music to be used to reach people with the gospel. Okay? Music is used for several reasons, but the main reason is to bring worship and praise to God. It's not used to try to reach people with the gospel. Okay? So let me tell you something, folks. Don't be deceived. Music is not neutral. It does matter what kind of music you and I listen to. Absolutely, it matters. Now, let's look at some Bible illustrations about all this, okay? First of all, music is a language, okay? Music is commonly called the language of the emotions, all right? Folks, music communicates directly to our emotions, all right? Illustration, okay? At church, when we're singing our congregational songs and we're trying to get people in the spirit of the service, okay, we'll sing maybe some peppier songs, okay? But let me ask you a question. Invitation. Do we sing the song, you know, Hold the Fort, For I Am Coming? Do we sing those peppier songs at invitation? No. We sing the slower type songs at invitation because it draws a certain response. Okay? How many times have we seen people up here singing, and as they're singing, they start thinking about the words, and they may have some tears come to their eyes, things like that. Because, folks, music is a direct communication to our emotions. Okay? Let me give you what's called a syllogism. Now, that's kind of a big word for Sunday morning, okay? But a syllogism is a statement consisting of a major premise, a minor premise, and a conclusion. Let me give you an illustration, okay? Here's my major premise. All men hate to go shopping. All right, would you agree with me there? All right? All men hate to go shopping, okay? Tom Walton is a man. Would you agree with me there? Amen, that's right. All right? Therefore, Tom Walton hates to go shopping. Okay? I just drew a syllogism there. A major premise, a minor premise, and a conclusion. Okay? Now, let me give you a syllogism about music. Since music is an emotional language, and some emotions are wrong for the child of God. Okay? Would you agree with me there so far? Music is an emotional language. If I had time, I could take you and give you and try to present this argument better, but I don't have the time to do that. But folks, music is an emotional language, okay? And it communicates right to our emotions, and there's no doubt about that, all right? Music is emotional. Since music is an emotional language, and some emotions are wrong for the child of God. Would you agree with me there? Absolutely, okay? Therefore, here's my conclusion, some music is wrong for the Christian, okay? You with me so far? All right, so now the Bible gives an excellent example of music as a universal language. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Let's look at this. Daniel chapter 3. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Okay, I told when I was teaching this, some of this stuff to the kids in the youth group last year, you know, I got some funny looks. Okay, but folks, I'm not making any of this stuff up. Okay, Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. Now, this, of course, is where Nebuchadnezzar has built his golden image, and he wants people to fall down and worship his image. Now, this is interesting. This is the sign that Nebuchadnezzar gives for all people to fall down and worship his image. Daniel chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Very interesting here. Folks, music was understood by all. There's people of different languages here. Babylon was a melting pot of nations. All kinds of different people here. But the music, the playing of the music, gave the instruction to enter into the act of idol worship. Let me ask you a question. Why was music used instead of other means? Why didn't they raise a flag? Why didn't they shoot a flaming arrow across the sky or release some white pigeons? Why did they use music? Because worship is an emotional experience and music affects the emotions. Okay, very interesting. When Nebuchadnezzar wanted the people to enter into an act of idol worship, what did he do? He get the rock music flowing. He gets the music all strummed up and all the music going, and everybody understood what the music meant. They all didn't speak the same language. They were all from different cultures and things like that, but they all understood what it meant when the music played. Okay? Music is an important issue. know, the scary part about music and our culture today is that it's aimed for the young people. You know, folks, the devil's not stupid. Okay? He wants our young people. All right? He wants the young people of this generation. If you don't believe that, go to the mall on a Friday night. Look what's walking around. Okay? David Elkind, he's a child psychologist, he writes this, that young people spend listening to the top 40 music stations an estimated 6 hours a day. Now, this is young people, of course, you know, this was polled from young people from all over. Now, think about this for a minute. 6 hours a day? That's 42 hours per week. That's an average work week that they spend listening to the top 40 music stations. Now, you tell me, the top 40 music selections, are those the right music, yes or no? Absolutely not. How many radio stations can you go and flip to that plays music that's the right kind to listen to? I can think of one out of the how many we have in this area. Okay? You know, in a year, that's over 2,000 hours of pop music that these young people are saturating themselves with. And you wonder why we go to the mall and see the mess we have today? You wonder why young people are walking into school shooting each other? You wonder why we have these young people doing these hideous and heinous crimes? Folks, they're being pumped. They're being indoctrinated with the music that they listen to. You know, it's no wonder our world is filled with rebellious punk kids. They're fed the message through the music they listen to. You know, the music crowd knows this, folks. They're not stupid. These people who produce this music, they know that they can control young people through the music. And they are doing what they're doing through their music on purpose. I promise you that's true. Rock star David Crosby, he made the following statement. I don't know who David Crosby is. He says this. I figured the only thing to do was to swipe their kids. I still think it's the only thing to do. By saying that, I'm not talking about kidnapping. I'm just talking about changing the value system which removes them from their parents' worlds effectively. Did you hear that? That's their agenda, folks. Their agenda is to steal away your kids' loyalty from you. That's the rock stars, the people out there who's making this junk music. That's their philosophy. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's look at another Bible illustration here. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to show you three ways that music will affect you. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we have the story of Saul's incomplete disobedience. Incomplete obedience. God told Saul to go to the city and destroy it and kill everything in it. That was God's command to Saul. And of course, Saul, thinking he knew better than God, decided to do his own thing. Didn't kill them all. Left some of them alive. And of course, because of that, God removes him from being king. Okay? He takes the kingship. He rejects him. 1 Samuel 15, 26 says this. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. I don't know about how you'd feel after being told that, but if I was Saul, I'd be having a pretty bad day if I got told that. Okay? And if it's not a coincidence, folks, that the next chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 16, is the chapter where Saul is depressed. Okay? Let's look in verse 14. Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Okay? Let's read a few verses here through 17. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, let me make a side note here, okay? Folks, God did not send a demon to trouble Saul. Some people think that that's what happened. Well, see, God, it's God's fault because God made the demon go trouble Saul. No, Saul was susceptible from that, okay? And since Saul allowed that, he invited that demon in his life. Okay, and God didn't say, okay, demon, I want you to go down and torment Saul. Okay, that's not what that's saying there. Okay, so don't misunderstand that. Verse 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. What was Saul's answer for being troubled by this evil spirit, by being depressed and not having a good time? What was his answer for it? Music. Folks, that's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that Saul chose the vehicle of music to try to relieve his depression and the things that he was feeling right there. Okay? Music mended the king. All right? Now, let's look at three effects that music has over humans. All right? Look with me at verse 23. All right? Let's read that. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Folks, what made that evil spirit leave and quit bothering Saul? Was there a seance that took place there? Was there a Ouija board? Was there a crystal ball? Was there an exorcism? What caused that? The right kind of music. The right kind of music caused the evil spirit to depart from Saul. Now, three ways music affects us. First of all, music will affect us physically. Okay, stay with me here. Verse 23, it says this. So Saul was refreshed. That word refreshed is the Hebrew word rava, which suggests a physical relief. If you look that word up in Hebrew, that's what it's talking about. Folks, the Bible teaches that music affects man physically. I'm talking about your physical being here. An easy test for this is to play a march, okay? Like a marching type song. And folks, what do people do when a march is played? The toes start tapping. Your feet start moving. Your hands, your arms, and your legs. And folks, a march affects people, okay? It's said that virtually every muscle of the body moves when an individual has to sit quietly and listen to a march. Okay? That march affects people. Okay? And it causes people to want to move. It causes their body to want to move. When I was playing those music illustrations to our kids out there in the youth group, and I was showing them some of the illustrations of music that was dominated by rhythm and the wrong kind of music, without me trying to even do this, automatically my head starts to want to bop. My feet starts to want to tap to the beat. Folks, your body will move to the music. Okay? Because music affects us physically. Because the physical part is most easily observed, it becomes the easiest way to test or evaluate the kind of music. Okay? Let me tell you how you can tell if the music is right or wrong. If the motions are wrong, so is the music. It's the music that causes the motions. Okay? Let me ask you a question. When you hear a certain song in church, you know, I used the song a while ago, Hold the Fort. That's a good song, okay? When we sing that song, okay, you know, your foot wants to tap a little bit. Let me ask you a question. When you sit and you're singing a hymn and your foot's tapping a little bit, is that sensual? Is it, when I say sensual, I mean, is that fleshly? Is that something that's wrong? If someone sees you tapping your foot, you're like, oh my goodness, you know, they're a pervert because they're tapping their foot. People say that? No. There's nothing sensual about tapping your foot. Okay, folks, and this is a whole nother, I don't have time to teach this, but folks, all music has rhythm. If music doesn't have rhythm, it's dead. There's three parts of music, the melody, harmony, and the rhythm. Let me tell you, when music becomes wrong is when the dominance goes on the rhythm instead of the melody where it's supposed to be at. That's where music gets wrong, okay? So, there's nothing wrong with tapping your foot to a good hymn. If someone sees you tapping your foot, they don't think you're getting down and discoing, okay? And that's not what people think, all right? Let me ask you a question about this. When people listen to, what kind of music in dance halls? When people are going to these nightclubs and these dance halls, are they just sitting there tapping their foot? You know what they're doing? They're gyrating the entire body. Folks, they're doing things with your body that it would be improper for me to stand up here and do in front of you. Because those kind of things don't belong in the church. Okay? And they don't belong in the life of the Christian, by the way. All right? And so if the motions are wrong, folks, the music is wrong. If the music wants you to stand up here and start swinging your hips and gyrating your body and start moving to the music, how many times have you heard that, moving to the music? If the music calls you wants to do that, let me tell you something, the music is wrong. I don't care if there's Christian words to it, if there's country words to it, if there's rock and roll words to it. Whatever kind of music wants to make you gyrate your body and move it in an immoral fashion, it's wrong. Period. Okay, you can't justify that. People try, but you can't. Okay? The motions require you, if they remind you, the motions remind you of a ballroom, a dance hall, a disco, or a barroom, it's the wrong kind of music. Okay? When I was working at a church one time, and I was there, and they had the contemporary Christian music rock concert that night. Okay? And I was getting ready to leave. I was finishing up what I was doing. And I walked in, and for one, it was so stinking loud that, you know, your ears were exploding. For two, these kids were in their pews. I promise you, I'm not lying. They were in their pews, standing on the pews, dancing. They were getting down with it. Okay? And I looked at the lady that was there, secretary of the church. I said, "What is that?" And she said, and she kind of laughed, "Well, I guess Baptists can dance too." Thought it was funny. I about wanted to puke all over her. Made me sick. Makes me sick that they use the word Baptist with their church. Amen. Folks, if the motions are wrong, the music is wrong. Okay? It's been proven by science. All right? Folks, this is not something that I'm just saying as a preacher. This is something proven by science. Dr. John Diamond, he's a respected medical doctor, and he's written much on the impact of music in the human body. Okay? His studies have proven that even with your ears completely blocked, the body still responds to sounds. Using hundreds of subjects, test subjects, he found that rock music causes muscles in the body to weaken. Now, folks, this is proven. Okay? The normal pressure required to overpower a strong deltoid muscle in an adult male is about 40 to 45 pounds. Okay? Only 10 to 15 pounds is needed when rock music is played. Folks, this is proven by science. This is not just, the preacher getting on the kick of music. Folks, these are things that are proven. Rock music affects people physically. I should say the wrong kind of music, okay? Because some people want to say, well, you know, I listen to this kind of music, it's not rock. Folks, if it's got the characteristics of the wrong kind of music, then it's wrong, okay? And it affects you physically. All right, next. And I'm moving fast here. Next, music does not just affect us physically, but music affects us mentally. 1 Samuel 16:23, the next part says this. So Saul was refreshed and was well. Okay? That well comes from a Hebrew word tav, which refers to the mental or emotional part of man. Okay? Saul was depressed and was made well by David's playing. His attitude changed and his outlook became brighter. You know, folks, the Bible has a lot to say about our minds. Okay, folks, the devil wants your mind. Okay, why do you think, it's pathetic even trying to go to Walmart and check out without seeing things you shouldn't be looking at? It's everywhere, folks. You can't even drive down the middle of town without, seeing people almost all the way nude. Why is that, folks? Why is every, because there's a direct attack on our minds. The devil wants your mind. Okay? And music will affect you mentally. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Now, folks, I understand there's people with real problems out there. Let me tell you something. Most of this depression stuff that people's going around, the answer's not drugs. You know the reason people, that they advertise drugs so heavily? Do you know the multi-billion-dollar industry there is in pharmaceuticals? Folks, people are making tons of money over other people thinking they have a problem. Let me tell you something, folks. Most people who suffer with depression, and I understand that is a real, I'm not downplaying all of it, but I'm telling you, the most people that do that, if you look in their life, there's another variable that's there. You know what it is? The wrong kind of music. Remember the illustration that Pastor Ross gave the other night about the two old maids who, when they got rid of the wrong things, she was mentally relieved? Folks, who was causing Saul to be mentally distressed here? The demon was. The evil spirit was. Well, you know, so folks, it's more than just, popping a pill. Okay? Music will affect you mentally. The Bible's got a lot to say about the mind. Titus 1:15 says this, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto those that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their own mind and conscience is defiled." Folks, we're living in a world where people's mind and conscience is defiled. You know, how can this, you know, this guy in Terre Haute kill his own son? Cut his throat? Your own flesh and blood? Why do people do those things? Because they're not right, folks. Their conscience and mind is defiled. High on drugs, meth, filled his system with that stuff. It controlled him, and he did things that you normal human beings won't do. 1 Peter 1:13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Folks, you must consciously, every day, protect your mind. If you don't, you'll be susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Leonard Bernstein, and as acclaimed as one of the greatest musicians of the 20th century, said, okay, "Music is something terribly special. It doesn't have to pass through the sensor of the brain before it can reach the heart. An F sharp doesn't have to be considered in the mind. It's a direct hit, and therefore all the more powerful." Folks, music, you don't have to think about it before it affects you. Okay? It automatically is a direct route to your the spirit of your man, the spirit of the man, okay? Deuteronomy 31:19-22, because of time, we're not going to turn there. But Deuteronomy 31:19-22 is the fact where it's Moses' last charge to Israel before his command to them. Okay? And it's very interesting here. God told Moses to teach the people not just the law, but you know what he told him to teach him? God commanded Moses to teach the people a song. That was God's command to Moses. Teach the people a song. Now, the music was to help Israel remember their covenant while living among people bent in idolatry. The song, along with the law, was to haunt them when they turned their backs on God. Folks, you know how it is. You know, we've all heard the wrong music here and there. And you know what? What's it take for us to recall that stuff? Okay, when I was a teenager, I got into a time where I listened to the wrong music for a while. Folks, all I got to do is walk in a store and hear the first couple words of that song. And guess what? The whole song is right back up here in my mind. A song I haven't thought about in 8 or 10 years. And all it's got to take is one or two notes and it's there. Because, folks, music affects our mind, okay? And God commanded Moses to teach the people of Israel a song. Now, last of all, not only does music affect us physically and mentally, look at the last part of verse 23 in 1 Samuel 16. Notice what the last part says. "And the evil spirit departed from him." Folks, music affects us spiritually. Very interesting here. The sound produced by David as he played on his harp with his hand caused a spiritual influence of the life of Saul. Notice something here. Does the Bible say anything that David sung with his mouth? No. What's it say he did? He played with his hand. He just played the music. Folks, the influence of music is, a lot of people want to put a lot of the emphasis on the lyrics. That's what they say the contemporary Christian music crowd says. Well, you know, we just change the words a little bit. Folks, let me ask you a question. If you drink poison out of a poison bottle or out of a nice champagne glass, is it still going to kill you? Of course it is. You can't take rat poison and put it in a nice, good-looking sandwich and expect for it to not hurt you because it was delivered different. Folks, music affected Saul spiritually here. It didn't say anything about the words here. You know what affected Saul? Was the music. And let me leave you with this thought. And I got a couple things I want to read you and I'll be done. Think about this. If the right kind of music makes the demons of hell flee, what do you think the wrong kind of music draws? If the right kind of music made the evil spirit depart, when we have that wicked, evil, worldly, fleshly music in our lives, what do you think it draws? It draws the demons of hell. Because that's exactly where it's from. Folks, this area of music, it's not a matter of opinion.
How many times you heard it said, well, you got your taste in music and I got mine. It's not a matter of taste, folks. It's a matter of spiritual survival. You know, and it's so easy to tell. Young people who are listening to the wrong music, they don't even have to say they're listening to the wrong music. You can look at them and see how they act and see what their attitude is and know they're listening to the wrong music. That's evident in the life of everybody, folks, because music is such a powerful medium. Okay? Last thing I want to read to you is this. It's a pamphlet that Pastor Jerry gave me, and the title of it is this: Rock Music Kills. All right, I'm just going to read to you some statistics here. All right, now think about this. This will blow your mind away. More than 500,000 teenagers attempt suicide each year. Nearly 2,000 a day. Okay? Suicide has increased 300% since 1950. The teenage suicide rate in America is the highest of all industrialized nations. And according to the National Education Association, teenage suicides are linked to depression fueled by fatalistic music and lyrics. Dr. Paul King, a medical director of the adolescent program at Charter Lakeside Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, says more than 80% of his patients are there because of rock music. He adds, the lyrics become a philosophy of life and a religion. Now let me read to you some lyrics of some popular rock and roll artists. You're going to recognize these names. Elton John. By the way, he's a homosexual. He's a stinking queer. And, you know, that's why at my house, my kids aren't going to watch the movie The Lion King. Okay? Because Elton John sings in it. And my kids aren't going to listen to some stinking queer sing a song to them. All right? Anyway, that was a side note. Sorry about that. All right? Listen to what Elton John writes. Think I'll buy a 45. Give them all a surprise. Think I'm going to kill myself. Cause a little suicide. This method is effective, tried and true. It's the only solution left for you. Kill yourself, kill yourself. It's about time you tried. Kill yourself, kill yourself. It's about time you died. And these kids are listening to this stuff, folks. Okay? 42 hours a week. Another group called the Healing Faith. This is what they sing. I put a bullet in the chamber, put the barrel in my mouth. 6-1, I'm going to make it. 1-6, I'll snuff it out. Metallica, very popular group, sings this. I've lost the will to live, simply nothing more to give. There's nothing more for me, need the end to set me free. And then there's a group called Suicidal Tendencies, and they sing this. Sick of living, I'm going to die. Suicide's an alternative. 16-year-old Steve Boucher put a gun to his head, pulled the trigger, and blew his brains out. His parents blamed their son's suicide with his obsession to AC/DC song, Shoot the Thrill. He was still sitting under his AC/DC poster when he pulled the trigger. In February 1986, 18-year-old Philip Morton hung himself from a closet door in Delafield, Wisconsin. Pink Floyd's album, The Wall, which includes such songs as Goodbye, Cruel World and Waiting for the Worms, was playing in the background. In October 1984, 19-year-old John McCollum shot himself while listening to Ozzy Osbourne sing Suicide Solution. Here's the lyrics. Evil thoughts and evil doings, cold, alone, you hang in ruins. Thought that you'd escape the reaper, you can't escape the master keeper. Where to hide? Suicide's the only way out. Wow. He was still wearing the headphones when his body was found. 1985, December, 18-year-old Raymond Belknap and James Vance, after listening to Judas Priest sing Beyond the Realms of Death, climbed out the bedroom window, went to a nearby church playground. There, Belknap put a sawed-off shotgun to his head, pulled the trigger, and literally blew his head off. As Belknap lay dead on the playground, Vance took his turn. He said, quote, there was just tons of blood. It was like the gun had grease on it. There was so much blood I could barely handle it. And I reloaded it, and then, you know, it was my turn. And I readied myself. I was thinking about all there was to live for. So much of your life is right before your eyes. And it was like I didn't have any control. My body was compelled to do it, and I went ahead and shot. Vance survived the gunshot wound, but slipped into a coma in November of 88 and died a few days later. One more. 16-year-old Dennis Bartz of Center Point, Texas, told his best friend he planned to meet Satan. He walked to the high school football field carrying his portable cassette player. When he got there, he popped in AC/DC's song Highway to Hell in the cassette player and hung himself from the goalpost. And I got a whole pamphlet of stories just like that. Now, folks, if you don't think this thing of music is a serious business, you're fooling yourself. You're deceived by the devil. Let me tell you something, folks. The devil uses music as his medium to get people to do things they would never do any other way. And we think it's innocent just because, you know, we like listening to country music. We can play that stuff and it not affect us. Let me tell you something, folks. It affects us. It will affect. It will kill you spiritually. It will affect you physically and affect you mentally. Music is an important issue. All right? We're out of time. And that's, like I said, I skimmed the surface, folks. I spent 25 weeks teaching our kids this stuff. And I didn't even get finished with all my material. Folks, music is important. Okay? Listen to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if the music is right or wrong. Okay? This is not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of spiritual survival. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word this morning and study this area of music. And God, I pray you'd help us to apply it, Lord. God, help us not to allow this in our lives. Lord, help us to stay pure and clean in this area so that, Lord, we can be effective for you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Bless the service now to come. In your name we pray. Amen.